Echoes from the Macabre, written by Daphne du Maurier and read by Valentin Dial.
Don't look now. Don't look now, John said to his wife, but there are a couple of old girls two tables away who are trying to hypnotize me. Laura, quick on cue, made an elaborate pretense of yawning, then tilted her head as though searching the skies for a non-existent aeroplane. Right behind you, he added. That's why you can't turn round at once. It'd be far too obvious. Laura played the oldest trick in the world and dropped her napkin, then bent to scrabble for it under her feet, sending a shooting glance over her left shoulder as she straightened once again. She sucked in her cheeks, the first telltale sign of suppressed hysteria, and lowered her head. They're not old girls at all, she said. They're male twins in drag. Her voice broke ominously, the prelude to uncontrolled laughter, and John quickly poured some more Chianti into her glass. Pretend to choke, he said, then they won't notice. You know what it is? They're criminals doing the sights of Europe, changing sex at each stop. Twin sisters here on Torcello. Twin brothers tomorrow in Venice, or even tonight, parading arm in arm across the Piazza San Marco. Just a matter of switching clothes and wigs. Jewel thieves or murderers, asked Laura. Oh, murderers, definitely. But why, I asked myself, have they picked on me? The waiter made a diversion by bringing coffee and bearing away the fruit, which gave Laura time to banish hysteria and regain control. I can't think, she said, why we didn't notice them when we arrived. They stand out to high heaven. One couldn't fail. That gang of Americans masked them, said John, and the bearded man with a monocle who looked like a spy. It wasn't till they all went just now that I saw the twins. Oh, God, the one with the shock of white hair's got her eye on me again. Laura took the powder compact from her bag and held it in front of her face, the mirror acting as a reflector. I think it's me they're looking at, not you, she said. Thank heaven I left my pearls with the manager at the hotel. She paused, dabbing the sides of her nose with powder. The thing is, she said after a moment, we've got them wrong. They're neither murderers nor thieves. They're a couple of pathetic old retired schoolmistresses on holiday who've saved up all their lives to visit Venice. They come from some place with a name like Wallabanger in Australia, and they're called Tilly and Tiny. Her voice, for the first time since they'd come away, took on the old bubbling quality he loved, and the worried frown between her brows had vanished. At last, he thought, at last she's beginning to get over it. If I can keep this going, if we can pick up the familiar routine of jokes shared on holiday and at home, the ridiculous fantasies about people at other tables or staying in the hotel or wandering in art galleries and churches, then everything will fall into place. Life will become as it was before. The wound will heal, and she'll forget. You know, said Laura, that really was a very good lunch. I did enjoy it. Thank God, he thought. Thank God. Then he leant forward, speaking low, in a conspirator's whisper. One of them is going to the loo, he said. Do you suppose he or she is going to change her wig? Don't say anything, Laura murmured. I'll follow her and find out. She may have a suitcase tucked away there, and she's going to switch clothes. She began to hum under her breath, the signal to her husband of content. The ghost was temporarily laid, and all because of the familiar holiday game, abandoned too long, and now through mere chance, blissfully recaptured. "Is she on her way?" asked Laura. "About to pass our table now," he told her. Seen on her own, the woman was not so remarkable. Tall, angular, aquiline features, with the close-cropped hair which was fashionably called an Eton crop, he seemed to remember, in his mother's day, and about her person, the stamp of that particular generation.